You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with the Writer, where readers and writers meet, and story is everything. We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Hot Texas with the Hot Texas Swing Band, our friend Alex Dormont.
Hold it up really quick. And you know, this time of year, we like to call ourselves...
The Jingle Bells?
The Jingle Bells! And as this is December 18th, there are still a couple more weeks that we can be the Jingle Bells until next year, right? Well, you're so happy that you're joining us this evening, whether you're listening or watching live or you're picking this up on a podcast down the road. Thank you for being along with us. This is episode 165. Hey, Jim, where are we broadcasting from tonight?
You know, we're broadcasting from a little different place. It's called Sand Hill Island. It's just a little place off the coast of Corpus Christi, Texas. It's a bucolic little place, you know, a sleepy little town. It has some art galleries and some really nice restaurants. It's a nice little fishing town, a great little town for people who want to visit but want to get away from the hustle and bustle of a big destination. It's got a dock that runs almost the whole length of the island. And we got boats, private boats docked there. We have some towboats that sail out of there. And I suppose even some of the locals might even fish off of that dock.
And it is, there is a cast of characters that live there. Let's bring on Peggy Chambers, our featured author this evening, who is the creator of the Sand Hill Island series that takes place exactly where Jim was just describing. Hello, Peggy.
Hello. It's so nice to be here. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
We're delighted to have you. We're delighted to have you back. And we have a lot to talk about this evening. Jim has just been giving it, like, we all want to go there now. let's go and meet at Sand Hill Island for a New Year's Eve. Think, Peggy?
We should do that. There's a restaurant there that we would really have a nice time. We really would.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where are you joining us from tonight?
I'm not quite so nice and warm. I'm in the northern part of Oklahoma, Enid, Oklahoma, north of Oklahoma City. And it's been about 60 degrees here, so I have no real complaints. But winter is winter, you know. It's not a beach.
Yes. It's been mild here the last several days in New Mexico. I still look forward to finally the leaves turned color and kind of fell, you know, and we're beginning to feel like, okay, winter, you know, winter is making its presence known. Peggy, we have a mutual friend who could be watching this evening. You want to say hello to Jerry Christina?
Hey, Jerry Christina. How are you? It's so good to be here, and I'm hoping you got the book and you're reading the book, because I know she's read all the other Sand Hill Islands and loved them, so I hope she's reading this one too.
Yes, and Jerry, whether you're listening live tonight or you pick this up down the road, we really want to wish you and your family a really wonderful holiday and Merry Christmas, and we'll catch up with you again next year. So, you know, it's fun to think about all the people that have come alongside of us over these years and have supported the show and who gift us their books so we can be prepared to talk with them. And, you know, it's a very special, the author community is so special. And we as readers, this gives us a little glimpse into the author community?
Well, authors are artists, and artists are a unique group, and that's a very true statement.
Yes, yes, so creative. Just what you all come up with. You know, I read and I'm gasping all the time, like, how do you think? How do you think of that? Oh my gosh, what a great idea!
Well, a lot of it comes from experience, and then there's other things that we're completely out in left field. You know. Yeah. Might not ever happen, but it would be fun if it did. So
yeah. Well, Jim, we're going to talk more with Peggy and get to know her a little bit. Why don't you go ahead and let's do her bio finally.
Let's do that. Okay. Peggy Chambers lives in the hometown of Enid, Oklahoma, with her husband. She's an award-winning author and writes in two genres, from children's books, young adult books, suspense novels, pulp fiction, and comic books. But she has decided, after much soul searching, to settle on the mystery suspense genre going forward. Oh, well, maybe.
I always change my mind.
Well, we were talking just a bit ago about what time of the year it is. And just a fun, you know, question. You have a favorite holiday tradition or movie or food, you know, that you look forward to this time of year, Peggy? Anything?
It was interesting. I recently was away from home, and I saw Christmas Vacation, and I sent a text to my son, and he said, "'Tis the season." So we love that silly movie with, you know, Cousin Eddie and all the craziness that goes on.
Yeah, we do too.
We do too. That Christmas tree, you know, they go out to cut that Christmas. Yeah, it's just full of just wonderful, wonderful vignettes throughout that movie.
It is good.
You want to ask about travel?
Travel. Yeah. Well, what's the first? I want to ask about Enid. Do you guys do any special things for the holidays?
Christmas in Enid.
You know, Enid has this big, huge tree they call the One. Mm. And it every year for the last, 5 years or so, it's downtown area. And it's all lit up, and it's attached to music, Christmas music. And there's... ice skating rink and areas you can tunnels that are all lit up and go through. It's beautiful down there. Really is. They made a movie last year. They called The One, and it was part of it was done there. And I haven't seen that movie.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Wow. Make a note of that. Make a note of that. How fun.
Yeah.
Well, we...
You want to talk about travel?
Yeah. Well, you talk. You ask Peggy the travel
you
question.
You travel a lot, you know.
Used to travel a lot. We don't travel as much as we used to, but I wrote in my bio that I've climbed Chichen Itza, which is in Mexico. Yeah. You can't climb that anymore. I did swim with the dolphins once in Mexico. I love that. We went to Africa once, where Jim was really confused about my statement about warthog pizza. But one evening at the hunting lodge, they served us pot roast, which tasted like pork pot roast with potatoes and gravy and things. And it was wonderful. And the next day at lunch, we had a pizza and it had this meat on it. And I said, "What was the meat? And they said, "I don't know, probably warthog." So I've always said I've had warthog pizza because most people just can't say that. But
yeah.
Well, it's true. You know, I went to Papa John's and it's not on their menu.
It's probably not on their menu.
It's true. Is there a place on a sort of a bucket list that Peggy, if you could, you know, if you could get out and do it, a place you'd still like to get to?
You know, I've been a lot of places. I've never been to Europe. I'd like to see Europe. I've been to Africa, and I've been to Mexico, and I've been to Canada, but never Europe. And I think I'd like that.
Yeah, yeah. So warthog pizza hasn't made it into any of your storylines yet, I don't think.
No, not unless it's set in Africa. They just aren't out there running around. You don't find
them. I think you said the other night your husband was a hunter. Yes. Has he hunted for a long time?
All his life, yeah, he's hunted. And that was his goal, was to be able to hunt Africa. So we went, and I went along, and I was supposed to be the cameraman, and everything is you know, you can't tell what I was trying to take a picture of. But we had a great time. A great time.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do you hunt it all yourself?
No. I just follow along.
So. Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Good. Let's talk about swimming with the dolphins, though. What part of Mexico were you? Which coast were you when you were?
We were in the Yucatan. In the Yucatan Peninsula. And we were staying at this hotel that had just down the road from it had a place where they had some dolphins that they would have a little show and you could swim with them. And they gave you a life jacket. You put this life jacket on and you do what they tell you to do. And I had my hands on those dorsal fins of both those dolphins and they were just flying, you know, and I'm trying to hang on. It was wonderful. Just
everyone.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. That may have to, I have hot air ballooning on my bucket list and now swimming with dolphins, that might have to be its partner, you know, up above and down below.
Both of them. Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah. Well, have you found that some of your travel adventures have kind of informed your writing in any kind of way?
Oh, definitely. First of all, it gave me ideas for writing, like the Sandhill Island situation. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Oklahoma for the most part, but I've been to the ocean several times and I love it. I love water wherever it is. And the idea of a dolphin, and in the book, the dolphin is a friend. It kind of is a protector, helps them out. And it's wonderful when you go someplace and see, we rode on a tour boat and I thought this tour boat would make a good basis for a story. And that's kind of how that all got started.
Okay. Let's see. You do write, as we mentioned before, across a number of genres. Uh-huh. But you also say that you love writing suspense. What is it about suspense that really has captured your imagination?
Well, I love to watch suspense movies and read suspense novels. You know, that feeling when the adrenaline hits and you just get so excited and then it kind of falls off. That is good for the reader and the writer, I think. Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
Yeah. And the book that we're going to get into in greater detail shortly, Smugglers of Sandhill Island. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a ride. And Peggy introduces you to Sand Hill and the characters and Knights begins to kind of weave that plot line. And then I won't tell you where and when, but then it takes off and you don't breathe hardly until the end of the story. And then you sit back and go,
well, it was a lot of fun to write. And
I gotta read that book.
I know I put my characters into some positions that you might or might not survive, but it looks good when you read it, you know?
Absolutely.
I probably wouldn't survive it, but someone might.
Yeah, well, and I think as a reader, the way that we don't want to do, you know, spoiler alerts and things, but you have enough going on that even you might say as a reader, I don't know, is this person who seems to be the main character, is this person going to make it? Oh, I don't. You know, she just may kill this person off, you know.
I am a member of several writers groups, and they get really upset when I do kill off a person. So I try to keep it down to the Cold War.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we are going to take a very short break. And, of course, we'll be talking much more with Peggy when we come back. But first, we're going to hear from our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. And they are standing by if you are a writer to assist you. Take a listen to this. And when we come back, more with Peggy Chambers. Don't go away. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writers. Special guests, we have Peggy Chambers and Smugglers of Sand Hill Island, and we're holding up the book right now.
Yeah, I'm holding up the book. Book three within the series. So, Peggy, why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of the series, and if you want to mention each title.
I started the series with Meg, who was had been on the island all her life, and she kind of hid from her neighbors, and she had a secret. The name of the book is Secrets of Sandhill Island, and it kind of grew from there. The more I wrote, the more I liked these people, and I decided to go ahead with it. And the second in the series was called Stones of Sandhill Island, about a woman named Billy Stone, who was a jazz singer on the island. And then there's a novella that has a different title that came from a different idea, but it still has to do with an ice cream shop on the island and the things that happen and the people who are there and how they take care of their neighbors. And then the third one, Smugglers of Sandhill Island, I decided probably was the end of the series. But I like to take all those different characters and put them all together. And in the end, I pulled them all together so that you would know where they are and what they're doing, and hoping that you would enjoy it and maybe read them and try to touch your pick on them.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, you've been down to the area, right? And Sandhill Island, is that for real?
Well, Sandhill Island is not. It's off the coast of Corpus Christi, but we stayed for a while on Mustang Island, and there's a ferry that goes across from the mainland to the island. So I kind of patterned this after that ferry and that ride. It's fun. The ferry was fun, and you're away from the mainland, and at the same time, you're very close. So that was something that I thought was fun, and the kids enjoyed it. My children did when we went across there and stayed on the island.
Yeah.
How long ago did you first go there?
Oh, my gosh. 20, 30 years
okay.
ago.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did we ask, when did you start writing the series? Did we ask that question?
We didn't.
About 15 years ago, I guess, when I started. 10.
Okay.
10.
Yeah.
So you were thinking about that story probably for a long time.
Well, I had been, yeah. And I hadn't started writing back when I was taking my kids to the island, but.
One of the fun things about the way, Peggy, that you have created this series, and as you mentioned, some of the characters come back, and we do see the major characters. We kind of get to catch up with them in this book. But each of your books can so stand alone, can't it? Because even though there may be characters that reappear, they're not necessarily, it's not like there's one detective that's in every, you know, we don't have main character that's throughout the series. And so readers, you can pick up any one of these and feel very comfortable that you're not going to be out in left field as you get into the book. And I think that's really interesting, Peggy, that you chose to write these.
Well, I saw the island as more the main character, and all these people that live there and the things that they do it on that same island, but there's not one particular person doing everything. I thought of, people would ask me, and I'd say, you remember the old series Peyton Place? Peyton Place was about all the people that lived in that little community. And that's the way this is. It's all the people and all the stories and the things that happen.
Yeah, yeah. Was there some research that you had to do to make this story feel very authentic and, you know, and real?
You know, I grew up around the water, but lakes and such in Oklahoma, and I've been to the ocean, but I've never lived there. It's a different story. But when I started trying to figure out how these boats work. I don't know anything about a tour boat, so I had to go out and research tour boats. Mm-hmm. And later on, there is a cigar boat that may or may not blow up. And if it does, how would I do that? I don't know, but I got to do some research. So yeah, there's a lot of research done.
Research about blowing up a boat. Can you imagine?
Well, I'm sure when you research, you have to think about how to cover where you're Googling and things so people don't think you're planning, you know.
Real terms.
I'm thinking my search history is telling.
Because, well, and you mentioned swimming with dolphins before, uh-huh. and there is a dolphin who is just so entertaining. Tell us a little bit about Scar.
Scar was hung around the dock all the time, and they would toss him fish, and he would entertain the people on the boat, and that would bring in more customers because they like to see the dolphin, and the dolphins like the fish, so it worked out. And then when things get bad and they're out about 3 miles out into the actual open water, then the dolphin is there to help them out because he's needed.
Yeah. And we also have the threat of shark attack.
Oh. I am terrified of sharks, and I've never actually encountered one. But the idea of a shark... When we were out on a boat one time, someone caught one, and I leaned down and mm-hmm. touched it, and it would just take the skin right off of you. They're so rough. They don't have to bite you. They can just rub past you and take your skin right off. So sharks are terrifying, I think.
Well, you know, the first time that we know there's a fin, you know, out there, my head just goes to the Jaws music. It's like all of a sudden I'm hearing, you know.
That we need a bigger boat.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a bigger boat. Yeah, exactly. That's really fun. Let's see. Did you also have to do a little research about how what a body goes through when it is lost at sea, so to speak?
Well, I know that a body will float in salt water for a long time. My husband's not a floater. We were in the Caribbean, and I was trying to explain to him, look, if you'll just pull your legs up, the water will support you. He really didn't think so, but this wasn't a swimming pool, and salt water will hold a body up. Now, eventually you're going to fill up with air, your lungs will fill with water and you will sink. But there's something about salt water. I mean, like the Dead Sea, I don't think anything ever sinks at the Dead Sea. Salt water will really hold you up. But of course, there are things in that water that aren't going to be your friend. They want dinner, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's part of what, dear reader, keeps you on the edge of your seat when we have these moments of wondering. How would we would we have the knowledge? Some of these characters live by the water, lived on the water, and they're very knowledgeable about water. But many of us, you know, would just be clueless if we suddenly found ourselves in this situation.
Well, you know, you used to be a competitive swimmer in your young days. Could you swim for 3 miles? To the shore?
I don't think so, especially in those conditions and. Yeah. In darkness and in seas. And no, I would not have been. I wasn't a marathon swimmer. You know, I was 100 yards, you know.
Danny didn't have any idea where she was. She was hanging onto a life jacket and there were currents and she hoped she was going the right direction. But that's about all she could do.
Yeah. It's just so well written. Okay, let me just look at time. Okay, we're going to step away, Peggy, for another spot. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little more in depth about characters. Okay. In the meantime, you know, this is the perfect season for book gift giving, which is true year round. We're going to step away for just a moment and tell you about one of the places You can order the books of many of our author guests, including tonight's featured guest, Peggy Chambers. Mm-hmm. And if you're following us on Facebook, on Rendezvous with a Writer, we've been posting every day some suggested books that are just perfect for gift giving. So here's a little spot about bookshop.org, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shops Bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking with Peggy Chambers here. And we're about ready to talk about some characters, some major characters, Peggy. But first, before we get into the first one, did these folks ever surprise you?
Did the characters surprise me?
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely think so. You know, I really liked Joey in this book. He was a bad guy. And Joey was not only a bad guy, he was a wuss. He really was afraid of most everything. His main goal was just to make some money. And aside from that, he didn't care. But he does get into trouble more than once he hates the island. He hates the mosquitoes. He hates the water. He hates everything. And yet it ends up about taking him out before it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's, you know, our first thought about Joey is kind of like, oh, he must be sort of like the main bad guy. And of course, we discover where he is in the food chain, so to speak, of the bad guys.
Yeah. I like to try to give my bad guys a little bit of depth. You know, they're not totally bad all the way through. They must have some redeeming qualities, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So. You know, maybe I get to talking, I get to thinking, when you first described, you must have fun writing this guy. But the way he lives, you know, he thinks he's doing okay. Everything's fine. I'm looking at him thinking, well, he's one step away from being homeless. But he thinks he's doing okay.
Doesn't seem to bother him too much as long as he's got some money in his pocket.
Exactly. And he does have some dreams. You know, you do give us a character that is kind of thinking about where he'd like to be and what he, you know, he has, like all of us, he has some dreams. And I think it's great when we have a bad, so-called, you know, bad guy, like you say, who's still multidimensional and has some dreams. We have a brother and sister, Danny and Cody, and they are kind of our main characters. They have a very interesting relationship. You want to talk just a little bit about Danny and Cody?
Well, if you have brothers and sisters, you know what it's like. You love them dearly. You would kill for them, or you might kill them. You know, I've got two sisters. My kids have, you know, my kids have a brother and a sister. They don't always get along, but I really think they would do whatever they needed to for each other. I know Danny was at her wit's end. She was ready to throw Cody off the dock herself. And yet in the end, they took care of each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they had an Uncle Ralph, and we don't meet him. He has passed before we get to meet him, but they both have memories of him, and he's kind of important to the storyline. You want to just mention Uncle Ralph a little bit?
He was the father figure because their father was gone before they were old enough to remember him. And he had a houseboat, and he left the houseboat to Danny, and he didn't leave it to Cody, so that caused a lot of trouble. And Danny lived on the houseboat, and then she went to her tour boat, so all day, every day, she was on a boat somewhere. And Cody was shiftless and sleeping on somebody's couch and trying to make a buck. So.
Danny is, she's just so determined. and so responsible. And in this community, again, especially all the people that are living like right down there on the coast, down at the docks and such, they really all are very aware of each other and what's going on. And so everybody sort of knows who Dani is, and they know that when she's out with her tour boat, and they wonder, you know, if she's back or not. There's Poppy, and Poppy's in every book, as I recall.
He is.
And his dog, Blackie. Tell us about Poppy.
Poppy is kind of like your fiddler on the roof. He knows everything. He knows everybody. But he's not going to tell you unless you ask him. And he knows a lot of things that you really ought to ask, you know. But he's great. He takes care of his neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always down there. So he sees everything going on, just, you know, quietly, fishing and being perceptive.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, a local populace sees some of these characters, and they don't always know who they are, but they don't ask many questions. They just say, well, that guy just hangs out around here.
You must be talking about the cleaner.
Well, I think there's a few more people besides the cleaner, but yeah, the cleaner would be the first one, you know. We can't say too much about the cleaner, though, can we?
We can ask Peggy about the cleaner.
Well, the cleaner just kind of arrived one day, and Poppy is the one who named him that because he was always sweeping up debris and such. Basically, he was hanging around trying to get information, and he turned out to be an interesting character in the end.
Yeah, he sure did. He sure did. It's another one of those, could be a red herring, but oh, no, that's actually, we didn't know about him. let's see.
Billy Stone.
Oh, Billy Stone and Stringer. Yeah. Yes. Tell us about them.
Billy
yeah.
Stone is the main character in Stones of Sandhill Island, and she's a jazz singer. She grew up on the island, and then she went to Corpus Christi, and then she came back to the island after a tragedy. And String was her accompany. Billy was a pianist and a vocalist, and String was a bass fiddle player, and they did jazz together. They were great together. They were kind of a brother and sister act. And then I brought String back in the last book, in the Smuggler's book, because I really liked him. And he kind of became a love interest of Danny's. And that, he had always kind of taken a back seat in my other book. Mm-hmm. So it brought him to the forefront. I liked him.
I like that too. And of course, they're all sort of connected through Sam.
Right.
Sam.
Did we talk about Sam yet?
No, we haven't asked about Sam yet.
Sam is the chef at the one nice restaurant on the island. And he hires Billy to have music on the weekends. And he hires everybody he can because he produces about the only really good food besides a taco stand down the beach. And he buys from the local fishermen and that sort of thing. But he takes good care of his neighbors. If they don't have something to eat, Sam makes sure they do.
Yeah, he's a wonderful character.
Is he modeled after anybody you know?
I don't think so. You know, I originally created him in the first book, and he was kind of grouchy, and he's come a long way. So.
Okay, all right.
Then that's a good question. Even though these characters, you know, they reappear, do you keep a note? How do you kind of remember who the characters are and what they were like in book one? Or, you know, do you have some way that you kind of keep track of them, Peggy?
I always keep track of my characters as I'm writing the book, and I hang on to that. But I know recently, well, like String, when I was working with String, I had forgotten what color his eyes were, and I had to go back and find out. We don't want to change eyes in the middle of it. So,
or height, right?
Or height.
There are some folks that are just good neighborly. Ned and Carla being another couple that help us sort of understand what this little community is like. You want to just touch on them for a moment?
Well, where the houseboat was tied up. Ned and Carla were down the dock, and they turned out to be really great people. When Dani needed help, they were right there, and they helped her out and let her stay with them for a while and that sort of thing. you know, the people that she didn't think she knew real well, but they stepped up when she was in need.
Yeah. It's a wonderful community of characters. And there is quite a bit of dialogue. Do you enjoy writing dialogue, or do you have any tips for writers on successfully writing dialogue?
I think dialogue is really important. A reader gets bogged down if you just dump information on them. It's much better to have the characters tell the reader what's going on in the story. So dialogue's important, I think. And it also gives you a good way to get a grasp for their personality.
Yes. Do you have a writing question for Penny?
A writing question?
Or any question. Any question. She'll answer any question.
I want to ask one more question about one of the characters.
Uh-huh.
We got Shyla. That's a local artist. Yeah. And I don't know whether she's a pretty straightforward artist or whether she's really bohemian in nature.
I would imagine she's bohemian in nature. She's Jamaican, and she loves to paint, and she paints like murals and that sort of thing. She has a thing for Cody. And Cody's not a good guy. Cody's got his problems. And you know how girls are about liking the bad guy. But he kind of sticks with him, and he turns out to be a good person. And I think she has a lot to do with that.
Yeah. Well, I know you don't plan on another book but for us readers, you know, who fall for your characters, you know, Shayla and Cody, Danny and String, a little bit more visiting again with Meg and Alex, you know, we could see that this story is still could be told.
They continue.
We might have to do something about it. I don't know. There's always that option.
I think Sam needs someone in his life. So, you know, I think.
Yeah. I never was sure what to do about Sam. He was so busy. He didn't have time for romance, not really. But, you know, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We are going to step away, Peggy, one more time. And this is for a word from another one of our sponsors, which, of course, is Jim and me and our online business Out West Shop. And tonight, Jim is in Rock Mount Ranchwear and I'm in Scully. So we love to have an opportunity to actually wear some of the things you can find on our website. And if you go to outwestshop.com and you're shopping, use the word books and save 20% off your order. More with Peggy when we come back. Don't go away.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out outwestshop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back. Ronnie Wood Ryder, Bay Jammers, and this book, The Smugglers, The Silent Hill Highway. You know, we mentioned this, I think maybe you mentioned this briefly. We talk about writing groups. Would you expand upon that? Some of the benefits of belonging to writers groups?
I think being a member of a writing group is really important. It certainly was for me. I'm a member of a local one, the Enid Writers Club. And from that, I became a member of the Oklahoma Writer Federation, which is, it's more regional than state. It's four states. And then I recently became a member of Sisters in Crime, which is a nationwide group. And with that, I've met so many people and learned so much. And there's a regional group from Sisters in Crime that spins off of it called Tornado Alley. I'm from Oklahoma, so Tornado Alley.
Yeah.
But they write crime fiction, and I've learned so much from so many of these people. It gives you networking. You can learn about their books. They can learn about yours. You can help each other. Mm-hmm. It's the critique groups are fabulous. I've had so much help out of my groups with critique. I just can't tell you.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I'm sure sometimes if there's a topic that you're trying to research, again, I hear this about other writer groups, you just know you can plug in and someone will be, really, really know about boats or really know about, whatever you might be wanting more information on. Do you, for readers, do you have a little tip about why it's so important for us to share a review, especially if we have something good to say? Share a review. You want to talk about that a little bit?
You bet. Reviews actually make sales. And if you see a book and you like a book and you want someone else to read it, it's a great place to do that. When I write a review, I write a little paragraph and then I put it on Amazon and Goodreads, Barnes and Noble. Wherever, any place. You can use the same one over and over and over again. And, give it as many stars as you think it is worth. And it helps promote the book and tells people that you think it's good. It gets people talking. It does.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be super long. I mean, you read some that are just like two sentences and then you read some that are really lengthy. But, the two, three, four sentences can often really engage somebody going through the reviews, at least for me. I sometimes a really long one, I don't have time for that. Let me get to another one.
It's not a book review. I mean, it's not like a book report that you do for school or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, I got a review on the very first Sandhill Island. And it said something to the effect of, I'm so glad to see that some older people have romance. And I thought, older people? my character didn't seem old to me, but evidently to this 20-year-old, it seemed like they were grandpas or something. I don't know. But gave me a good review. So,
That's fun. Do you ever get writer's block?
Not too often, but if I do, I find that I move on to something else. I've always got two or three different stories going somewhere.
Let's see. What's next, Peggy? What are you working on, if you want to share?
I'm working on a book right now called Home Among the Sand Plums. And being from Oklahoma, sand plums grow wild here, and they're mostly eaten by animals, but they make fabulous jelly. And so this is set at Canton Lake in Oklahoma, and this woman is making sand plum jelly, and she finds this little boy who's lost. And she takes him in, trying to find where he belongs. And the story opens up because he's Native American. His mother has disappeared, like a lot of women in that area. It has a lot to do with the disappearance of indigenous women, but it has a lot to do with the love she finds for this little boy. And I'm hoping it'll come out good. I'm not finished with it yet.
Yeah. Do you see that as perhaps being the first again of a new direction, a new series, or too early to say?
There's some good characters there that could, I think, go on to other things. You bet.
Let's see where, when you write a blog, tell us a bit about Views from the Hammock.
I started writing that probably 15 years ago, and I write it on Sunday mornings at peggylchambers.com. And I write about books or things that I'm doing or questions I have. I talked about this upcoming interview and that sort of thing. I get people interested in talking about books and what they're doing and what they're creating. And it's a good way to talk with people. And
it is. Yes. It's wonderful. And if somebody wanted to subscribe to that, Peggy, where would they go?
Just go to peggylchambers.com. And then if you like it, it'll pop up and you can subscribe to it. And it comes up every Sunday morning.
Yeah. And what are you reading now? Just to put you on the spot, because we didn't say that we might ask that, but what are you reading?
I just finished a Kristen Hannah. I love her books. And this was called Summer Island. Her books are so emotional. They will really tug at your heartstrings. I like her.
Yeah, she absolutely. Sometimes I have to actually put it, I sort of have to put it down and strengthen myself. And it might be a few days and then pick it up because I really want to know where it goes next. But yeah, she gets
She really
right.
gets down to it. She does.
She gets
She
right down to it. Yeah.
does.
Yeah. Let's see. Jim, do you have a quote?
We have a quote, yes. It's kind of interesting. When I read this passage, I said, oh, I'll be. And I said, laugh at it. There's a line here. It is becoming famous. Danny runs a tour boat, and she takes people here and there on the island, and also to some of the eating places and some of the shops. And she had dropped off a bachelorette party at the famous Lachaise restaurant. And these ladies are all having a good time. They're all pretty inebriated. And
We're having a great time.
she doesn't think, we don't think we're going to get back on the boat. So limo has been called. But they left the shoes on Danny's boat.
I'm barefoot up to the restaurant.
So Danny's bringing them the boat. So Danny's getting the bachelorette party back from the restaurant to the limo. Yes, there are six pairs of shoes for six barefoot waiting guests. Snatching up the shoes by the straps, she carried them down to the dock to the waiting limo. The driver opened the back door where the disheveled women sat giggling. Now, six pairs of stilettos, ladies, she said, handing them inside. Thank you, they sang in unison, and Danny stepped back waving. Good luck getting them home, she said to the driver. Oh, we'll be fine. It's not my first rodeo.
Yeah, stilettos on the sand just don't work. You just can't walk on the beach in stilettos. So they were barefoot.
And that line, it ain't my first rodeo. Sometime I'd like to have a author write, I don't know, this is my first rodeo.
I think this driver has seen his share of drunk women before.
Sure. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us this evening for episode 165, and a special thank you as that we are kind of closing out our year of programming. A big thank you to Sam Hassan of LA Talk Radio, to our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency, Clicks by Madison, and OutWestShop.com, to Alex Dormont and the Hot Texas Swing Band. A very special thank you, Peggy, for being with us tonight. We're so happy that we were able to get you in before the end of the year. We didn't realize at first that the last Thursday of the year would be Christmas. And then the next one, as we kick off 2026, is New Year's, which is also a Thursday. We wanted to kind of let Sam, who I'm sure would be happy to work both those nights, but we decided we would take a little reprieve. So we were so delighted, Peggy, that you were able to join us tonight. Really, really happy to have you with us. So Jim, what is happening? What's happening next week and the week after?
Well, let's see. I got a lot here to read here. We lined up great shows the next 2 weeks, both for Best of Rendezvous replays. Next week, December the 25th, Christmas, we'll be replaying our terrific conversation with author Candace Simler about her book, Montana Matrimonial News. The following week, January the 1st, New Year's, we'll be replaying our engaging conversation with Richard Cross, editor of the anthology Through Western Storms, and three of the contributing authors, John Nesbitt, Jim Jones, and Nancy McCabe.
Yes, a great. Both of those shows were just terrific interviews. And then we return live on January 8th, kicking off the new year with a really fun show, something we've not done before. There's an original movie coming out. It will open January 31st in Elko, Nevada, during the famous Elko Poetry Gathering. And it stars our good friend, award-winning singer and entertainer, Kristen Harris. And this is Kristen's most recent album. And she is starring in a ranch musical. And it is a musical journey celebrating the spirit of ranch life set against the stunning backdrop of the American West. We are thrilled to have Kristen Harris with us, along with director Natalie Aramendia. I hope, Natalie, that I have said that correctly.
Yes.
She just got married. And, of course, Henry C. Park, who is with us the first live Thursday of every month, film editor of True West Magazine. So it's going to be all about movies and screenwriting and music. It's going to be really fun. So please plan on joining us January 8th. And we wish you, from the Jingle Bells, a very Merry Christmas.
Yes, we do.
And a happy holiday and a wonderful New Year.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Peggy, for being on.
Thank you.
As we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Keep writing.
Keep writing.
We'll keep reading. Happy holidays, everybody. Thanks, Peggy.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.